programs and women are planting churches. So girls, we are behind you. Look at me. I nominated a woman for the national executive and she declined. So let me just tell you, I don't care what your age is, your race or your gender is. I believe it's time for us to all just step up, and when God's time, he will raise us up. Amen? And so let's just get rid of all that stuff and let's just go for it. But right now, I just happen to have 9 men. They're all good. They're all good. And God has chosen them and they are an incredible blessing. Can you believe that on the national executive, we have the pastor of the Prime Minister of Australia? See, could you believe? Some of us, I was born into this movement. Who could it? We were the funny little bunch that spoke in tongues that nobody wanted to talk to. Now the Prime Minister of Australia attends one of our churches. Come on. I don't care what you vote. We've got a spirit-filled Christian in the lodge. Get happy. All right, seriously. Seriously. You just found out how I vote. I want, listen, I believe there's, in fact, I've got friends who are great men and women on both sides of the house. You just need to see the kingdom of God come. How many sanguines in the room? You probably have an issue like me, FOMO. Do you know what FOMO is? It's the fear of missing out. I hate hearing there was a party and I wasn't there. I hate hearing that I went home and something amazing happened. You know, I love Lynn. You know I love Lynn. She's beautiful. She balances me remarkably. She's everything I'm not. She's structured. She's quiet. She's ordered. Thank God for her. Stop it. But let me tell you something. That woman got sick on New Year's Eve, 1999. The party to end all parties on planet Earth. And she got sick. And I sat at home and do you know how boring fireworks are on television? Watching them on your own. I struggle with FOMO. I hate missing out. And tonight I want to give you an antidote because I want to take you to an incredible story of leaders in the Old Testament, one of whom in particular shows us how to ensure we never miss out on what God has for us, for his church, for our generation. Are you ready for the ride? There's two men in the Bible, in Numbers 13 and 14, that are celebrated. Joshua and Caleb. The entire generation around them missed out. Except for Joshua and Caleb. Now, we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about Joshua. He gets enough press. He had a book named after him. Good on you, Josh. We're going to talk about the other guy. His name is Caleb. Do you know what Caleb's name means? Dog. You know, back in Bible days, parents prophesied. Parents declared things over them. Like, and he shall be called, you know, the father of a multitude, and he shall be called the great one, and this and that. And he shall be called Dog. His parents had high expectations. Do you know what your name means? I know what my name means now. I didn't all my life growing up, you know, Wayne Alexander Alcorn. I always used to wonder, you know, I had all these guys tell me, my name means prince, my name means lover of horses. And all of a sudden, yeah, good on you. My name, Wayne, you know, I'm Wayne from Australia. And so I used to wonder, what does Wayne mean? So when our first son was born, Lynn bought that book of babies' names, you know, and we're looking at all these names. And so I picked it up one day when there was no one around. I went to the back. W-A-Y-N-E, Wayne. I discovered that when my parents looked at me. They said, and he shall be called Wayne. You know what that name means? Wagon maker. Powerful. Changed my life. Wagon maker. Dog. He shall be called dog, but I want to show you what this old dog did. And he shows you how to not miss out on the, there's a bit of mongrel in this old dog. And if we got it in us, we too cannot miss out on the plans of God. Are you ready? Number, here we go. Fasten your seatbelts. Better still, take it off. It's more fun. Numbers 14. Numbers 14, verse 21. I think we're doing karaoke. It's somewhere. If not, trust me, it's in the Bible. Numbers 14. Nevertheless, this is God speaking. As surely as I live, and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, not one of those. This is one of these moments that actually should be in bright red because God is ticked off. Not one of those who saw my glory. This is a real challenge to those of us of a Pentecostal charismatic persuasion that actually see the power of God. Not one of those who saw my glory and the signs I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, but who disobeyed me and tested me 10 times. He repeats himself. Not one of them, and we know, not one of them will ever see the land I promised on oath to their ancestors. Not one who has treated me with contempt will ever see it. Here's the big verse on which I believe God wants the ACC to rise and move forward. But because my servant Caleb has what? A, say it out loud. He has a, and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land that he went to and his descendants. This is an important thing. What's coming after us? And his descendants will inherit it. I am captivated by the challenge of living with a different spirit. I say to my sons, I say to my team all the time, choose to respond with a different spirit. You know what I love about a different spirit? It's different. It's different to the way most people live. It's different to the way most people respond. Can I tell you something? It's different to the way some leaders lead. When we live and lead with a different spirit, we don't come and wait until the musicians somehow get us up by the third or fourth slow song. We walk in already with a garment of praise on. We don't wait until we wear people down in some conflict. We choose to take the high road and forgive. We choose peace rather than turmoil. And in the midst of challenge, we choose to live by faith and lead by faith. That is the spirit of Caleb. That's the different spirit. Tonight we're going to take some time and then we're going to pray for each other because there are two particular areas that the Lord really laid on my heart this afternoon that he wants us to really pray into. Some traits of leaders that have a different spirit is the first one. You process information differently. There is data flying at us all the time. We are bombarded with information. We're bombarded by stuff. News, details, information. It never stops coming. But have you ever noticed there's a lot of bad news around? And have you ever noticed that bad news builds momentum? If you've been around church life, you'll hear this term. Everybody's saying. I've done some research on the word everyone. The word everyone actually equates to no more than four, all of whom have the same surname. It is amazing how people can build momentum around an agenda, a thought, or a bit of bad news. But a different spirit responds and processes that information differently. I read the newspaper the correct way, from the back forward. Seriously. All the good stuff's at the back, ladies. Read the back. There's men in tight shorts. It's amazing. All right. So, but a little bit of very, very important news. There was just a sporting event called the Ashes. It is incredible. We go to the Ashes. Oh, we're a miserable lot. We're all a bunch of cheats. We use sandpaper instead of cricket balls. Blah, 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 blah. And we win a test. We're amazing. We're the greatest thing on the planet. We lose a test. Bunch of losers. This is on the back page. We should have won a test. The guy drops the ball, made the wrong call. We're terrible. We're hopeless. We win a test. We're amazing. Last test, we lose. Still keep the ashes, but, oh, yeah, it's really bad. It's really sad. It's amazing how quickly the information just goes. We as leaders have got to learn to process the data with a different spirit. Respond from a place of faith. In the era of Caleb, Scripture says, this is a very important verse, Numbers 13, verse 2. Now God, who doesn't lie and speaks sounding like Morgan Freeman, says, send some men to explore the land of Canaan. Now here's a really, really important line. Which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. The first thing he says, I'm giving it to them. My dad's still alive. He's 92. He's a cool old guy. He's a great dad. When I went to university, I came home one day. It was a special piece of work. I had hair past my belt, an attitude to match. He says, son, done you a favor. I've bought you a car. Sick of you putting dings in mine. I've bought you a car. I said, you're amazing. He said, you want to see it? I said, sure. He takes me down to the car lot, and there behind all the shiny ones, way down the back, was a 1962 VW. Oh, yeah, baby. If only I'd kept that one. However, it had a couple of little challenges, but it was amazing. He said, have a jump in. I sat in it. I thought, this is incredible. I'm 17. I'm the king of the world. I got my own car. I said, can we take it today? He said, no, you can't. They've got to do a roadworthy. We'll get it registered. You'll have it in a day or two. I just wanted you to see it. He said, it's done. It's paid for. It's yours. My name's on it. It's a done deal. I just wanted to have a look at it. Be encouraged. Having been through that experience, I know exactly what's happening here. God says it's yours. It's done. Go and have a look at it. You'll actually take possession of it really soon. My name's on it. It's a done deal. Do you trust me? Go and have a look at it. Go and see it. You're not quite there yet, but you're heading there. So I want it already to happen in here before it actually happens here. So just go and have a look. See, I've discovered something. The more secure I am in my relationship with him, the more confident I am in the promises from him. That's yours. So what's God been saying to you lately? What verse has leapt from the page? That's God's word for my family. That's God's word for our church. Lock on. If you said it, it's done. It's not a matter of time. Doesn't matter. Once he said it, Once it does, time's not the issue. It's a done deal. And he says, so now what I want you to do is I want you to take this. Now, everyone in the room, you're here tonight because you're a leader. I want you to look at this. He says, now I want you to take from each of the tribes, I want you to take one leader, and I want you to send them out to check out what is their possession. What an incredible responsibility for leaders to see and influence. Something leaders need to realize is the responsibility that's on our shoulders is no small thing. Paul writes and says, don't seek quickly to be a teacher because there's greater responsibility, in fact, greater judgment. Sorry, if he's put his hand upon you, it's too late. Now you've got some choices. Will you live and lead with a different spirit? You see, in my house, we've just renovated our house. Thanks for being at my support group. That's another story. I must tell you tomorrow the story of my paint selection. It's classic. It's a male versus female view of life. The males lose every time. Let's move over. So in our house, in our house, in the kitchen. There are two things. There's a thermometer and a thermostat. I can see the thermometer. Because when things are up, it's up. When things drop, it's down. I can't see the thermostat, but I know it's at work. Because when things aren't right in the refrigerator, it actually gets busy and it changes the environment. That's a real leader. See, I meet a lot of thermometer leaders. Numbers are good. Praise the Lord. And then that football grand final happened to be on the Sunday and the weather got cold and numbers were down. Offerings are up. Offerings are down. And we'd have no right to be a thermometer. We've got to influence. We've got to be the people who change the atmosphere. No, come on. We've got to be the people that see and then take people with us to where God has for us. And so the 12 leaders go out and they go and spy out the land and they bring back a report. They acknowledge that the land is amazing. Could you imagine? These people have been walking around the wilderness. They've come out of bondage. This is the trouble with a lot of Christians. They've come out of bondage, but they have never entered into promise. So they've come out of Egypt. They've escaped Pharaoh and all the bricks and no straw and all the beatings and all the hardships. And now this is their moment. Their leaders, the people they look to, the people they respect, the people that they've given title to. They've gone and seen the promise of God with their own eyes. And can you imagine the buzz in the camp? I don't wonder what they're seeing. Man, hashtag amazing days. Everybody's buzzing and then the word comes, they're coming back. They're coming back and people gather in the camp. Can you imagine? I love, how many people are into sport? How many love big crowds? I get off on it. I love it. I was there the other day when that young guy, Lockie Neal, took that screamer against Geelong, pulled it down and kicked it with a minute to go and the crowd went nuts and I was sitting right beside the Geelong president. It was one of the great days of the year. I'm from Brisbane. And it was just incredible watching the crowd get excited and the dynamics. Could you imagine, who knows how many was there out of the possibly 2 or 3 million Israelites that had come out of Egypt? You imagine how many were there? This huge crowd. They're going, here they come. And the hush as they stand up. And they give their report to Moses. They said in verse 27, we went into the land you sent us. And the people, high five, 14 people right now. 14, where did you come up with that number? Doesn't matter. We went into the land to which you sent us. And the people are getting buzzy. And it does flow with lactose-free milk and organic honey. And they're going, amazing. Everyone's online putting things on Twitter. And they said, here's its fruit. You know what? Some of the reports of this moment says the fruit was so big. This is a true story. The fruit was so big it took two men with a pole to carry one bunch of grapes. Possibly growing under the power lines. We don't know all the facts. These things are incredible. The land is just so blessed. It said it's filled with possibilities. The crowd was whipped to a frenzy. Until the fake news starts. Verse 32. And they spread. Now this is leaders. Leaders, you've got a responsibility on your shoulders. And they spread among the Israelites, what? A bad report about the land that they'd explored. These people were so excited. The promises are within reach. But this is what the leaders said. The land we explored. Now I, just look at the English here. These sentences are filled with oxymorons. The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. Well, does it devour them or are they living there? problem. Real problem. What is going on? See, everybody's saying bad report. ACC's not Pentecostal anymore. Let's move on quickly. Everybody's saying it. No, everybody's not saying. 10 word, 2 word. I want to show you something in a minute. Have you ever noticed that some people have an amazing capacity to state the obvious? It's a lot of weight today. Oh, genius. Music's loud. Some people, wow, that building's expensive. That's a big faith goal, Pastor. And the problem when people state the obvious without the faith that's needed to reach the promises, they come to the conclusion that we can't do this, so we might as well give up and go back to our small, miserable lives. A different spirit. How many want to live with a different spirit? A different spirit doesn't respond to the facts with fear. It responds with faith. Respond to what God had said. It's amazing how many leaders make decisions based on all sorts of other things other than what God has said. I don't know how many times I've looked into people who were shaking in their boots and said, okay, I'm hearing you. But what did God say to you about that? Makes you stand a little taller. That's why we as leaders, by the way, need to be in the Word for things more than sermons. Come on. And stop finding sermons on the internet. Let's fill our well with the Word and with the Spirit of God, so that no matter when the pressure is, there's something there to draw out because it's alive in us. See, a different spirit. A different spirit measures the challenges differently. It's a spirit of faith. It's not a spirit of fear. It magnifies the Lord. Not ignoring the obstacles, not ignoring the problems, but recognizing that if God is for me, who can be against me? Measures the challenges differently. I remember it was 2012. The church which I pastor was planted in 1930. In the midst of the Great Depression, this is an incredible story. I'd love to preach it one day on how to leave a legacy. In the midst of the Great Depression, these people started worshiping God in the heart of Brisbane City in a tent. And 2 years later, they built and opened a two-story building debt-free. It is incredible. That church stood there for 72 years until in the middle of 2004, somebody came and set our building alight through an arson attack. And we were out of there, and we spent the next 2.5 to 3 years as kind of wanderers all through our city, mostly based in the convention centre, and God blessed us. But there were times it was just, some of you have done that journey, and it's not a lot of fun. But we were ready after a major battle, because the government wanted to list it as a heritage listed, which was so far from the truth, because the building had been changed and butchered, and it was nothing like a heritage building. And they wanted to do this and that, and they didn't want us to sell it, they didn't want us to demolish it, they wanted me to rebuild it back to what it was just the worst idea. And so we believe God put it in our heart that it was time to move into a new season. And so we took all steps necessary to get this property ready for sale, which included a demolition of the old building, which was being destroyed. It was cracked and it was broken. That thing stood there from 2004 to 2012 while we had the fight. In 2010, I felt strongly it was time to do this, and we spent just short of $1 million to do all the legal things and get right through the whole process, take away toxic soil, beat the... End of the story. We'd put all our chips on black, and we did so because I had a sale for that place of $9.8 million. It was not a bad return, about tenfold. People are going to think I'm clever. It's pretty good. 10 times return. I remember walking out in 2012 to speak at a large conference in New Zealand, and I don't know why I did this, but I had my phone in my back pocket, and it wasn't on silent. As I'm walking out, you know, I'm preaching. This was a big deal, big conference. I'm preaching, and I'm the man of God. And I feel my phone go, burr, burr, and I picked it up. And the first few words from the head of my property team was, "I have some regrettable news to tell you, Pastor. The sale which we'd worked on for 18 months fell over 20 minutes before going unconditional. And we were in overdraft up to about here. And I'm preaching a message to encourage believers to go for more, serve him with gladness." I preached through gritted teeth. We kept that deal on life support for about 2 weeks until it finally fell over and we were in serious financial challenge. I met my leadership team, my elders, business management team, and they said to me, "Wayne, give us the name of at least 15 staff you're going to lay off." I said, "No." And we lived for the next 2 years on an overdraft that would kill a brown dog. But God was with us. 3 years later, I get a phone call. The whole thing turned around. I didn't get 9.8, but that precinct sold 3 years later for $20 million. It's a happy day. Who's the hero now? Some days, you've just got to be the last to blink. Some that you just, it's not, you've, listen, I surround myself. I've got three PhDs sitting on my board. I've got people who've run large companies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I listen to them. But there are days that you can't just take the soft option. There are days you've got to do what you know that you know that you know God has told you to do. And we sailed through. We were bouncing along the bottom. Now, we're just amazing. That's what a different spirit has to do. And somebody in this room needs to hear that. You know what? It was so easy. This is where I want to go with this. It's so easy to magnify the problem. Here's how you magnify the problem. You talk about it all the time. You can either magnify the problem or you can magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. You know how I magnify him? I talk about him and I speak about him and I praise him and I worship him. And when nothing else makes sense, I get lost in his presence and I lift him up. And in lifting him up, I somehow rise above the stress and I rise above the problem on it. But when I start, if I want to magnify the problem, you know, I just keep talking about it and talking about it and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until it drowns me. Different spirit. Back to Numbers 13. This is what they said. "We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim." This is a big line. Ready? This is one of the saddest statements by people of God in the Old Testament. "We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes." That's the issue. You see, we see life the way we see ourselves. We're not grasshoppers. Last time I read it, we're giant killers. We're above and not beneath. We're the head and not the tail. We're children of the living God. Somebody say amen. See, and we looked the same to them. See, the problem with that confession is it breeds doubt. When we start talking and magnifying the problem and talking the problem up and getting up and beating our people up rather than standing here confident in the Lord, encouraging ourselves in his promises, oh, that shifts the atmospheres. Listen to what it says in verse 1 of Numbers 14. "That night, after the evil report, after they said, 'It's too hard, they're too big, we're not good enough,' the people that night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud." I got a question for you, leader. This is an important question. How do people feel after they've been with you? Here's how I want to spend my life. pumping up other people's tires. When you've been with me, I really hope you're just that little bit taller. You're believing for a little bit more. You're reaching for a little bit more rather than me just sitting here self-inflating. Well, have you heard about how good I am? Have a read of that. No, come on. Let's speak life into each other. Let's build people up. Let's talk about how good God is. Let's begin to affirm how the keeping, working, loving, powerful, magnificent Holy Spirit. Build people up. Listen to Caleb, verse 30. The man with the different spirits, he silenced the people before Moses. And he said, we should go up and take possession of the land. Listen to the different spirit, because we can certainly do it. Here's the difference. Most people with a different spirit are in the minority. That's why your church, if you've got a church of 200, it's not why 230 of them are leaders. Because not all of them are yet at that place where they've got a different spirit. They're still processing the information. They're still looking at the problem through a secular mindset. But people who've been renewed, the spirit of our mind, the work of the Holy Ghost, the washing of the water and the word, is this true or not? You see, the minority until Christopher Columbus came along thought the earth was flat, the majority. Have you been to Washington, the Smithsonian Institute of Flight? That is a mind-blowing place. There's replicas there. There's the Wright brothers' plane. Did you know it wasn't until 1903 that the first real flight of a machine heavier than air actually went for a significant length? Here's the stats. Those two old boys flew 852 feet, that is less than 300 meters, and they hung in the air for the gross tight length of 59 seconds. I've worked that out. They were flying at 17 kilometers an hour. I'm glad that was a little quicker than that coming down here today. The first thing, most people said, you can't stay above the ground in something heavier than air. But some people knew, the minority said you could. The minority said you could. 1903. Just a few weeks ago, we celebrated the 50-year anniversary when a man called Armstrong walked on the moon in 1969. Do the maths. Just 66 years later. 66 years later, we put a man on the moon. 66 years later than when the minority said, you know what, we actually can put something off the ground into the air heavier than air. We can go, man can fly. The majority said you can't. But then the majority cheered when we put a man on the moon. It's called leadership. See, a different spirit knows. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. The different spirit says, I'm not too young. I'm actually encouraged, Pastor David, by young leaders beginning to emerge in this state. You're not too young. Have a read of scripture. Have a look at most of the people that you were used amazingly. They were young. You're not too old. Come on, let's stop that nonsense. Little girl wrote to her grandma and said, Grandma, I'm hearing people say you're over the hill. She wrote back, Sweetheart, I am, but only went over the hill to pick up speed. Let's have that spirit. You're not to anything. You're not beyond what God wants to do in your life. I sat opposite a leader this morning at breakfast with tears streaming down his face, and he told me his age. He said, Wayne, I think time's up. I think I've missed it. I said, stop it. You think about what God can do in a nanosecond. Just stay true. Stay the course. Don't give up. Keep that different spirit alive. Amen? Here's the third thought. Different spirit not only interprets the data, not only strategizes, but it confronts problems differently. The same verse from the New King James, verse 30. Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let's go up at once. I like that thought. Let's go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Can you hear the way a leader speaks? Let's do this. It's not, yeah, I know. It's hard. It's tough. Yeah, it's big. Come on. Got a different spirit. So I've seen what God has for us. I'm not going to be moved. I'm not going to be moved by what I see or hear. I'm moved by what I know. If you've traveled to places like America, you'll know people get around us because of our accent. They go, hey, this is an Aussie. This is the way he talks. See, we don't think we've got an accent. We don't think we've got an accent until you get offshore. Write this down. We have an accent. We have an accent. And can I tell you something? A lot of places around the world love it. The UK, they love it. The US, they love it. Have a listen to the way this guy talks. Fair dinkum, you blokes. I don't think we talk any different than the rest of you. But, oh, I love the way you talk. Love this accent. I want that set of the ACC in Tassie. Listen to the accent. Everyone's saying, oh, there's a real brain drain out of this island. All the good people go over to the big island. Come on, stop that. This is our day. We can take the land in Jesus' name. We talk differently. We speak positively. We're dreaming. We're declaring the word of God. We're saying, oh, yeah, I know. I know. I've read the facts. I read the data. I see what's going on. You know, I'm in a state which has just had a very, very unusual, totally against normal climatic conditions, bushfire season. We're the humid state. We're the hothouse of Australia. And we got bushfires breaking out everywhere. And you know what? Something in the spirit excited me yesterday. A light went on. It's really dry. It's ready to burn. Yeah, our nation's dry spiritually. Guess what? What great condition to see a fire of the Holy Ghost begin to burn in this nation. We got to begin to speak differently. Yeah. I know. I get it. See, we're kingdom people. Got a different accent. This is what Jesus said. Matthew 19, verse 26. He looks at them. This is how you got to be speaking, leader. If you sound like the rest of them, you're not the leader of them. Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. But with God, read it with me out loud. All things are possible. You see, with man, it's not possible to feed thousands of people with a little boy's lunch. With man, it's not possible to cause blind to see, deaf to hear, lame to walk. But with God, all things are. Man can't walk on water, but with God. Man can't raise the dead, but with God, all things are possible. It is not possible for your church to do this, do that, buy that. But with God, it's possible. You know it's possible because he's shown you. You've seen it. You wear it. You carry it. With God, it's possible. It's in this crazy economic season, post-banking, royal commissions, economic downturn, it's not possible to buy land. But with God, it is possible. Seriously. Some of you might see some of the things that we put on Instagram from either myself or Hope Center, and you might have seen this right now. There's a building going up on for our northern campus. It's a ridiculous story. 7 years ago, I drove past a block of land and I said to my friend Joel Holm, I said, we're about to plant up here. And I said, you know what? I really, really would love a block of land like that because every one of our campuses is on concrete and the only grass we have is poking up through the concrete. And there's no grass. We've never been able to purpose build something. And this would be amazing for the first time. And we laughed, 17 acres. We go, how much would that cost? Nearly 2 years later, I'm driving past the same block. And I saw on the sign in front of that land, a yellow sign that said, for sale. Now, here's the beautiful line. Mortgagee in possession. Hello. I pulled up, got the number, rang my head of my property team. I said, ring this crowd. He rang me the next day, said, you'll never believe it. That land is zoned perfectly for everything we'd ever want to do. I said, do you think it's expensive? He said, of course it is. I said, but let's trust God. And we put in a ridiculous offer. It's on a six-lane highway. Our neighbours are Bunnings Hardware and a school with 1,200 students in it. 17 acres. We offered $2.5 million. The bank rang back and said, when the tender's closed, there are many other offers ahead of you, but you're the only one that has offered a cash sale, 100-day settlement. Do you know why we could give them a cash sale? Because we bit the bullet and didn't blink when the sale fell over in the valley. We had millions sitting in the bank. They came back and said, look, it just wouldn't be right for us to sell it to you for 2.5. He rings me back. He says, they want us to up the offer. I said, offer them 2.7. And 2 days before Christmas, they took it. We had, just as the new school year started, about 6 or 8 weeks later, we had a cup of tea with the principal next door. Where are your new neighbours? They're beautiful, Lutherans, ecumenical, lovely people. And we'll have a cup of tea. They said, we were surprised a church bought that block of land. I said, were you? Yeah, he said, they offered it to us just last year, but we just couldn't make it work. I said, really? They said, yeah. I said, how much did they offer? I said, he was going to do us a deal at $14 million. And I went. And the principal said, looking at your face, you've just had a miracle. I can't tell the whole story, but we're in the middle of another miracle of that land where we're selling some of the land in excess of $1 million an acre, and we're building an $8.5 to $9 million building that'll be built for cash. You've just got to believe that if God is for you, who can be against you? And some of this stuff doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. But if God has said it, God doesn't lie. Somebody say amen. So some of you have believed the lie that because you're serving God, your family's going to suffer. I believe that with man, not everything. Listen, people say, it's really tough on families in the ministry. It's tough on families, full stop. We're against an enemy that wants to break covenant and destroy homes. That's the deal. But you know what? We can be people that look up and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And somehow or other, despite what's going on in society, we can stay strong and we can keep loving Jesus. And all our kids can serve him. Whatever career path they choose. You know, I honored my dad on Father's Day. Donna Crouch sent me a book the week before Father's Day. She'd come across in the Alpha Crucis Library an interview done with my parents 7 years earlier, and she transcribed it and bound the book. My mum died a year ago tomorrow. And she said, I just thought you'd like this. And the book tells the story of my father and mother. My dad was the town drunk that got saved in an open-air meeting in a little country town. My dad was living rough. It's an amazing story of redemption. And he gets saved, and he goes to Bible college, and he tells this story, and he just talks about how the fact that he prayed his kids back into the kingdom. You know, I didn't serve Jesus at all in my teens. I'm here to encourage some parents right now. Don't be moved by what you see. Be moved by what you've seen. You've seen your kids serving Jesus. You've seen God's hand upon them. I used to come home. Through latter high school, but particularly university and into my first career, up until my 20th birthday, I was a long way from Jesus. And I'd come home some nights and I'd hear my dad pray. I heard him one night. He said, God, I don't even know where he is. But you said he'd be a preacher and I won't let you go. We now, you know, not so much now, but over the years, we've done father-son seminars, and he's told all the stories about stuff I didn't even know he knew when I was a teenager. Totally erodes my dignity. But I remember one night, I was 17, nearly 18, and I was not in a good place. And I always wanted to fight him. It was a stupid idea because he actually could go, the old fella. And he held me one night. He pinned me against the wall. And he had his big fist. He got a signet ring on his hand. And he had me up against the wall. This was a Sunday, just before he was about to preach in the 6 o'clock service. True story. And he had his fist loaded like this. And he looked at me and says, "There's only one reason I don't kill you tonight." I said, "What's that?" He said, "God told me you're going to be a preacher and you're going to be a leader in this nation. And I don't want to ruin his plans." Wind the clock forward 30 years. And you decide that it was my turn to replace Pastor Brian and lead this incredible movement. Just on 10 years ago. And I remember all the people, high fives and hugs and handshakes. And at the end of that line, there's a little old man in his 80s when everybody had gone. And he walked up and I was ready for this big hug. He looked at me and he went, "Told you." And he walked away. Now, I don't know what you're doing right now, but I'm going to tell you, I don't know where what your kids are doing right now, but I'm here to tell you, you dedicated them to God when they were children. God hasn't forgotten that. I remember asking my father one night when everything was going mad, you know, and as a teenager, and you know, I was in my 40s or early 50s, and I said to him, "You knew all that stuff I was doing. We'd just done a big conference and praying for dads." And I said, "You never panicked once." He said, "No." And he quoted Paul. He said, "I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded." Say persuaded. "I am persuaded that he is able to keep that to which I have committed to him against that day." I don't know where your kids are right now, but he does. With man, it's not possible. With God, nothing's impossible. I want the musicians to come up, but I'm going to read you one last verse. 45 years later. This is a cool story. Listen to this old dog. We're now out of the book of Numbers. We're into Joshua, chapter 14. I wanted here tonight to tell somebody your last chapter isn't written yet. Listen to Caleb's. Verse 10 of Joshua 14. He's now speaking to Joshua, who's replaced Moses as the head of Israel. And he goes to him and he says, this is Caleb speaking. He says, "Now then, just as the Lord promised," this is such a cool statement, "he has kept me alive for 45 years. Since the time he said to Moses, while Israel moved around in the wilderness." So listen to this. "So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous. Check 'em, Josh. Sun's out, guns out, baby. Just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified, but the Lord helping me." It's not about how clever we are. Not about all the business plans we got in place. All of them are important. But the Lord helping me. But the Lord helping me. I will drive them out. Joshua blessed Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and he gave him Hebron, the hardest place, the highest place with the biggest people, at 85. 45 years. You know the problem with a lot of leaders I meet? They let go of the promise after 45 days. They've forgotten the prophecy at conference after 45 minutes. 45 years. For him to be as strong 45 years later, what did he do? Kept himself ready. It could be today. Come on. It could be today. It could be later this year. I'm not getting fat and lazy. I'm not getting all mean and small. No, I'm going to keep believing. I'm going to be ready for battle. This could be the breakthrough day. This could be the moment. I'm ready. Joshua, give me my inheritance. He maintained that spirit all his life. And not only did he receive what God had for him, the generations that followed. I got 2 sons, 4 grandsons. I look at them and I think, I want to leave you a legacy of faith. I want them to go in the wake of the miracles that happened because I dared to believe. They'll have their turn. This is my turn. So what data are you getting coming down the line that's challenging you right now? We're going to pray for each other. Was it a doctor's report? Talked to one of my best friends just 2 days ago. He's 5 years younger than me. He said, they've just found a massive mass in my stomach, Wayne. I said, well, is God bigger than cancer? So on Monday, I'm going back to his house and we're anointing him with oil. Because that's what the Bible says to do. Are you sick? Call the elders. Anoint him with oil. God's going to raise him up. Amen. We got to believe this stuff. What data are you getting? Is it financial? Is it relational? With man, not everything's possible. You can't turn this around just out of your own genius. But with God, nothing's impossible. So we're going to start this conference tonight saying, we believe that we have been chosen by God. We do believe that he's called us to... I look at the mirror some days and go, God, are you serious? But he's chosen me. Check yourself out. Like, it's his idea. But now we've got a responsibility to lead. What have those other 10 spies got to tell their kids? So, Granddad, did you go and see it? Yeah, it was amazing. That's all I did. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that leader. I want to dare to believe what God has said and what God has shown me. I'm going to enter into. If it doesn't happen today, it's going to happen. If it doesn't happen this year, it's going to happen. I'm just going to keep it. It could take 45 years. Some of the things I'm living out now, God showed me as a young man in my early 20s. So we're going to stand up. We're going to pray for each other. Come on. Let's just prepare our hearts for what God wants to do. We're going to sing this song. Unless you have a responsibility, I just want you to engage and not leave. I promise we're not going to take more than 5 minutes. I'm going to put the microphone back in David's hands. We don't get too many moments like this as leaders. We're busy doing the stuff. We're ministering to others. We're helping, we're serving. This is our moment to just be Christians, just be children of God. Close your eyes for a second before we worship this God with this song. What's the scary data? Does it relate to health, money, family, church, property? Other issues. I want you to make a choice tonight. I am going to respond to that data with a different spirit. Fear, you have no hold on me. Fear, you have no place in this circumstance. We choose to respond by faith. By faith. We're going to worship God, and then I'm going to pray for you. We're going to pray for you. I particularly this afternoon felt the Holy Spirit speak to me about family and property. I want to pray for you in a moment if there's a major challenge in your family, because God wants you to be sad and distracted by what's happening in your family to rob you of energy and time and focus on what he wants you to do for the kingdom. Some of us have believed a lie that it's absolutely impossible to get our land, to buy that building, build that facility. In Jesus' name, I believe it's breakthrough time. I feel the faith for it in this room. So come on, let's begin to worship him, and then we're going to pray for you.
This I will declare, God is my refuge.
Come on. Spirit of God, you're in this place.
I will declare. For he is with me,
my God,
and his perfect love will cast out fear. So I lift up my eyes and I lift up my head, and I woke up with
different spirit never forgets that God is faithful. If you're sick, tomorrow we're going to pray for you. Oh, the Holy Spirit dropped this thought in my heart just while we're worshiping then. If you've got a significant physical ailment, tomorrow I'm actually going to be quite open and honest with you about God's healing in my own life. It wasn't physical, it was a different area. But if physically you need a miracle, I want you to go home and just lay hold of some scriptures. Declare them. Say, God, you're not a man that you should lie. Neither the son of man that you should repent. If you said it, I believe it. And begin to declare that word of God over your life. Begin to build faith. We're going to pray for you tomorrow in the second session. But I want to particularly pray in those two areas that I've got an incredible faith for right now. If you have a particular challenge in your family, and the great area that I really feel stirred about is in children that are away from God. We're not judging you. We're not judging you. I got some friends who are wonderful people whose kids aren't following Jesus right now. I can't even explain it, so no one's judging. Hey, we just put that aside. But we believe that we're going to respond with a different spirit. We've seen it. We saw them serving Jesus through their career. Some of them would stand on platforms, others of them, and make a difference. Right now, it's not happening. But we're going to translate the data with a different spirit. That's you. Raise your hand. Say, that's me. If somebody near you has their hand up and you don't, put your hand upon their shoulder. Come on. Reach across the aisles, reach forward, reach back, get out of your seat. Come on, we're family here. Keep your hand up until somebody's got their hand upon you. And I want you to pray for them. You pray for them in Jesus' name. Father, we believe. Come on, begin to raise your voice. You begin to pray over them. We call those kids back into the kingdom of God. From the north, the south, the east, and the west. We pray even where we stand right now, there's a shift in their heart. There's a shift in their mind. In Jesus' name. I pray for mums and dads whose hearts are breaking tonight. God, heal them. Fill them with hope. Fill them with faith. God, restore to them, Lord, joy and expectation. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We believe for miracles in these families of men and women of faith. In the name of Jesus. We agree with you. We agree with you. I want you to whisper the names of those kids and whisper them before heaven right now. Paul said to Timothy, remind yourself of the prophecies that went over you. That word prophecy means revealed word. It can be the same word as vision. Something happened. You know there's a moment. I want you to remind yourself of the things you saw and you know about that son and daughter. About your family, remind yourself. I want you to declare it right now. And Paul said, with it, fight a good fight. Fight off depression. Fight off despair. Fight off discouragement regarding the current situation. And declare, God, you are able. With man, not everything's possible. But God, I trust you with. And name that person right now. That child, that husband, that son, that daughter, that grandchild. We agree with you in Jesus' name for a miracle. I want you to raise your hands to heaven if we've just prayed for you, and I want you to declare, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Come on, I want you to declare it. I want you to declare it. As for me and my house, I declare it, I see it, I call it as done. God, I don't know when it's going to happen, but I believe it will. I got the Caleb spirit happening tonight. I won't let you go because I know you're able. We call it as done tonight, and we're going to walk in the victory. We've seen it. So we won't let the enemy rob us of joy. We won't despair. We're going to walk in trust. You are faithful. If you right now need a miracle for property, land, a building, finance to build a building on land, I want you to raise your hands, please, because I feel a faith in the room for it. Find somebody. Come on. We're all ministers in this room. Every one of us are ministers of the gospel. Bible says if two or three of us agree about things here on earth, if two or three of us agree, some of you have already seen it. I want you to declare it before God right now. I want you to declare it in Jesus' name. You speak it out. Declare it in Jesus' name. Father, we declare We speak it. We remind ourselves of what you've said. We remind ourselves of what we've seen. And God, tonight we claim what you have already shown us. We declare you're able. We declare, Lord, that with man, not every one of these things is possible, but with you, nothing is impossible. And we thank you in advance for the reality of the miracle, for the fulfillment of the miracle. And we stand agreeing with our brothers and sisters, our colleagues in the cause of Christ. And we believe, Lord, for these miracles to become a reality. We claim that property. We claim that finance. We claim that land. We claim those buildings. Houses for the harvest. Even as I'm praying, some of you already see a building and you see people flooding in. Somebody has an image right now of a funnel above a building where people are just pouring in. That's God's plan for you in that ministry. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we claim it. We claim it. Lord, we declare harvest time for the state of Tasmania. We speak life over the church of this state. We declare her to rise and shine, for her light is come. We take back land that the enemy's stolen. We believe tonight, Lord, that there is an inheritance for us, for our generation, and we believe to leave the next generation assets, not mortgages. We believe, Lord, there's something that you have for us that's going to set the kingdom up and the generations that follow us for wonderful, wonderful kingdom advancing ventures. And we thank you. Now, would all of us just open our hands, and I'm going to hand the microphone back to David. Just open our hands. The key to living with a different spirit is not to have a certain personality. It's just to stay full of the Holy Ghost. The days I start to sound negative and small is the days I realize I just haven't spent enough time with Him. So, Father, fill us again with the Holy Ghost and joy. With the Holy Ghost in faith, with the Holy Ghost in boldness, with the Holy Ghost in power, with the Holy Ghost in wisdom, with the Holy Ghost in anything else you have for us, but cause us to be, oh Lord, I pray for some of us to have a brand new Pentecost. I pray for some of us, Lord, to have a whole new experience. Fill us again, God. Take us beyond just a mere theology of spirit life and take us into the fullness of it. And we claim, Lord, let this weekend be a time of complete renewal for all of us, we pray. Amen. Good night. See you tomorrow. God bless.